Welcome to I'm So Obsessed, where we get the inside take from actors, artists, and creators on their work, career, and the things they obsess about. I'm your host, Connie Guillermo. When actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt launched Hit Record a decade ago, the goal was to give people an online place where they could come together and create projects, everything from songs to poems to TV shows. In fact, Hit Record now has two Emmys for TV shows created by Gordon-Levitt and that online community. Fast forward to 2021, and Hit Record has found a new way to bring people together online. It's called Class Projects. It's a subscription-based service where you can learn creative skills and get expert feedback by actually working on a project. What can you learn? Everything from voice acting to songwriting to how to draw sci-fi scenes. In this episode, Joseph Gordon-Levitt explains why he's a big fan of learning by doing. So I want to ask you about a new project that you've started on your creative platform. I think that's what it's called, Hit Record, a creative platform. But why don't you why don't you tell people a little bit about what Hit Record is? It's been around, I think you started it back in 2010, so more than a decade ago. So let's just talk about what Hit Record is and what your thinking was and is for this platform.
Sure. Yeah. So Hit Record's a community of people all over the world that love being creative together. And like you said, it's something I've been doing for so long now, many, many years, and it's taken many forms. When it started, it was this complete hobby that I was just doing in my spare time for fun. And that's when the community started on just this message board that my brother and I were running together. And we noticed that while some people were coming to the message board to check out little songs and stories and videos and stuff that I was making, what a lot of people wanted to do was collaborate and make things together. And this is in the mid-2000s. So at that time, it wasn't so common to think of the internet as a place to collaborate on creative things. And we just thought that was super cool and new, unprecedented. Not that we alone were the only ones doing it, but that this new technology, we're facilitating a new human behavior that wasn't possible before in other times in history. And so we leaned into it, but in a very informal way. And my brother was a software engineer. And so he started making little features on top of the message board, and people started collaborating more. And it grew, and the community was actually a really lovely, positive place. And so in 2010, like you said, we took this kind of hobby community and we launched it as a production company. And the idea was, okay, can we kind of take this communal creative process that's happening and do more ambitious creative things with it. And we made all kinds of things together as this open collaborative production company. We made books and records, and we won an Emmy for a TV show we made. And that has been enormously fulfilling. And I really love the idea of creativity and that feeling you get when you're making something together with other people, that can and should be something that a lot of different people can feel, that kind of anybody can feel. And I wanted Hit Record to be inclusive in that way. And so we've spent a long time thinking about how could we make this a lot more inclusive. And what we're launching right now is our answer to that. And it's called Class Projects. And it's basically taking what we've been doing for years, all that we've learned about online collaborative creativity, and applying that to learning, so that somebody who wants to learn a creative skill can come to Hit Record and learn writing or photography or music or acting or all kinds of things.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the platform for a second. I think the last number I have, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I read it on the internet, and you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
Isn't that true?
750,000 creative people. And when we talk about—
Yeah, it's now like double that,
Double that. Wow. Okay. And when we talk about creative people, it's truly all kinds of people: musicians, poets, writers, photographers. I don't know. I'm sure I'm forgetting all kinds of people.
Sure.
And the idea that I understand with Class Projects is kind of to take that masterclass idea of someone who really knows how to do something super well and share their knowledge by having people not just watch lectures, if you will, but actually make stuff. Is that
right? That's a big difference that I think a lot of there is a lot of online learning going on nowadays, which I think is a wonderful trend amongst many dire and dismal trends online. There's a really nice trend that a lot more and more people are really interested in learning stuff online. Class projects, I think, is different in that they're not just classes, they're class projects. So it's like, for example, I taught an acting one, and I didn't just sit down and say, okay, here's everything I know about acting. It's not academic, it's not abstract, it's a project. And like the acting one I did is, okay, I'm gonna perform a monologue and you're gonna perform a monologue. Here's how I do it. I'm gonna break it down into steps. Let's talk about how I pick the material. Let's talk about how I start to study the material. Let's talk about how I practice and how I eventually perform it. And I actually do it and talk about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it so that the person who's taking the class project can do it too. So at the end of each lesson of a class project, there's our contribute flow that we're good at doing and saying like, okay, here, do this. And that's your work in progress. And when you contribute, you get feedback on your work in progress. You get it from a teacher's assistant who's on our staff, and you'll also get it from your fellow students, because we're very much about doing it together with community. And so you can't just sit back and watch. If you take a class project, it's all about you actually jumping in and doing something. And I think if you want to learn a creative skill, you're not going to learn it if you just sit and watch. You're only going to learn it if you actually do it.
One of the classes that I saw that you've taught or are teaching is creating a character based on yourself.
Right, right.
What's the first what's the first thing you tell people when they need to create a character based on yourself? Because I would imagine most people would say, no, I'm really boring.
Well, it's a character based on yourself. It's not a character of your exact self. So you can change whatever you want. You can make yourself less boring or more boring, or, you know, make yourself anything you want. That class project, the first lesson is called writing as self-reflection. You're just kind of writing about yourself. And ask various questions like, write down some things you're grateful for, write down some things you regret. And you're just kind of writing about yourself. And then we start picking certain things that catch your attention, like, oh, that's interesting, and changing them so that you're now writing not just about yourself, but you're starting to create this other character that's sort of based on yourself, but with some differences. And this is the creative process that I went through when I created the character of Mr. Corman. This show that's on Apple TV Plus, and this writing class project you're talking about is based on that creative process. Is me going through and saying, here's basically what I did to create this character as a writer. Now I'll take you through, and you can create a character based on yourself. And by the end of the three lessons, you've written a whole dialogue scene for this character you've created.
Well, and we should say that Mr. Corman, which is a series on Apple TV Plus, is a teacher. So education obviously has been on your mind for a while.
Very true. You nailed it.
What has led you to, I mean, obviously as a parent myself, I feel education is the single most important thing that you can give to a child and sure. empower them to grow up and know how to engage with the world in a positive way. Mm-hmm. But what led you on this journey to focus on education?
You know, I wonder all the time about how I can be somehow a positive contributor to the world. And I've grown up and learned skills as an actor and as an artist of various kinds. And I think that there is a lot of positivity in art, in telling stories. Let's be honest, not all art and stories are the most positive things in the world. And I think, and a lot of entertainment nowadays is not necessarily trying to be positive so much. It's more just entertainment. It's distraction. It's something to turn on to kind of like escape and veg out. And that's cool. I think that's an important part of the human experience as well. Although I think we're probably doing it too much as a culture. We spend probably too much time kind of distracting ourselves and entertaining ourselves and kind of amusing ourselves as opposed to challenging ourselves to grow and to think hard and to do the kind of the challenging, hard, slow thinking work to really make ourselves happy and fulfilled and create a better world, etc. So as much as I love telling stories and making art and entertainment, teaching really appeals to me. It seems like actually a lot of the same skills as an artist or storyteller, because you're communicating with an audience of sorts, you know, with whoever you're teaching, your student, but trying to communicate something more than just entertainment that will amuse them. You're trying to communicate something that will help them grow or learn or, you know, enrich their lives.
Well, I think what's interesting about everything you said is that your focus, and I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist here, but seems to be on having an element of engagement, which today and the past 2 years has been one where we live in this weird times brought on by this pandemic, where there's been a lot of passive consumption of entertainment, information, misinformation, disinformation, and people do have emotional reactions to some of it, and we've seen the outcome of that. Mm-hmm. But there also is a lot of it's just washing over me, and it's almost kind of led people to disconnect from engaging.
Yep.
So that engagement part of what you're doing, learn by doing, mm-hmm. class projects, right, making stuff, mm-hmm. seems to be an anecdote to all of that. And I guess it sounds like it was very intentional on your part.
Yeah, I do get worried sometimes about how powerful media technology is becoming, and it's only going to get a lot more powerful over the next few decades. And I worry about, a vast majority of people kind of just plugging in and blissing out and getting addicted. A lot of the media technology today is designed to be addictive. And I think we're just starting to scratch the surface of the harm done by that. You know, Facebook is starting to get some of its comeuppance. You hear some about how Facebook is designed to be addictive, but I think probably not enough. We're talking about how it can be bad for young people. You know, we have laws against people under 21 going into a casino because gambling is recognized culturally as an addictive vice. We don't yet have laws about all of the addictive products and services that are being marketed to us, and especially to kids. I think that's something we as a generation we need to work on. But I don't think that digital technology is necessarily negative in this way. I think it could be built to be incredibly positive and nourishing and wonderful. It's a question of how we use it, and a lot of that is, well, are we going to be willing to challenge ourselves a bit, to dive into experiences that are not the path of least resistance, or do we want to just chill?
Well, I mean, all of your points are super interesting, and of course the Facebook files that have been leaked by a whistleblower who worked mm-hmm. there speaks to your point about how manipulative Facebook has been in keeping people on the platform by fueling negative emotions, because more people engage when you trigger their negative emotions. At least that's what these documents that have just been released over the past 2 or 3 months seem to suggest and show. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the name of profit, right? Facebook is an ad-based service that wants to keep you engaged so they can target more ads and keep you on that platform.
And I want to say a bit about that, actually, because this is another reason why and how we designed Class Projects for Hit Record. Is to me, that's a business model that's truly ethical, where we are offering a service to paying customers. It's a subscription service, Class Projects. The open part of our platform remains free like it's always been, and people are continue doing what we've done on Hit Record for years. But Class Projects is a subscription service, and that money goes to pay the teachers, to pay the teachers' assistants, and is, I think, a viable business model that can help our community keep going and growing, you know, nicely into the future in a way that's not predatory. That's where we're actually, I believe, offering something that customers, if you will, can actually benefit from. And if they subscribe, that they really, I think we're offering something that someone can really grow their creative selves and learn creative skills. And that's something that's genuinely worthwhile spending your time on. As opposed to, like you say, I think a lot of the business models nowadays, and they're very lucrative business models, but they are sort of predatory, and they're not necessarily going to benefit the users of the service. They're more just benefiting the advertisers and the advertising business.
It's kind of funny because the discussions, at least here in Silicon Valley, about Facebook, you're right, they have a business model, but it's run by people who have somehow forgotten the goal of humanity, I think, and that's the comeuppance that we're seeing for social media in general. But it just makes me think of all those James Bond movies where there are all of those guys in lab coats sitting at the terminals, and the evil guy is, you know, standing at front laughing and plotting his evil plan. And then those people go home at the end of the day, and someone says, you know, their spouse or partner or whoever says, how was your day? Oh God, this, you know, British Secret Service agent came in and kind of blew up the facility. I got to get a new job. But there's a disconnect from what you're doing and what it means, and trying to make that connection.
I love thinking about stuff like this. I don't think there is an evil villain in a lab coat at these Silicon Valley companies. It seems to me, and I haven't, you know, met all of the individuals in question, but it seems to me that most of them are probably really well-intentioned. But also their business sort of has gotten away from them and become something that almost nobody really has control over in a way. And I think our economy is kind of set up to do this. When companies become these big publicly traded entities, the fiduciary responsibility of the executives is to the shareholders, and there's nothing in the law saying you have to do right by humanity. The only thing that the law says is you have to do right by your shareholders to make as much money for them as you can. So you get this sort of drive to infinite growth, whether or not that's a good thing for the world.
Right. Well, we're seeing the repercussions of a lot of it. And I think the general consensus, money aside, because they have been extremely lucrative and profitable, is that it has a negative effect on society. And you're right, if you're going after children, you're setting up bad patterns that will only be exacerbated over time.
Yeah, so I, you know, Hit Record is our small, humble way to try to build an alternative, an online environment that's less driven by the attention economy and the ad model, and less sort of preying on people's most base desires and instincts, and instead trying to set up an incentive structure around creativity and community and collaboration and learning, and build a business on that that's ethical and lucrative at the same time, and actually providing something positive where you can come, you can grow as an artist. You know, eventually perhaps you could even teach your own class project and come up that way. And wouldn't that be nice if we could have an ecosystem around art and creativity and media that was set up in this different way? Remains to be seen if it works. We're just launching it now, you know. That's our hope.
I'm curious how the past year and a half of us all living in lockdown of one kind or another, I mean, it's forced people to be very creative in how they have approached collaborative projects. And probably 5 years ago, people would have said, no, I never want to make a movie where I'm acting to a screen and someone else is someplace else and the audio person is here and sound, what visual effects. But over the past year, lots of people have come together and the world continues, and there have been many creative projects that have come together. What do you think about, just in the industry that you're in, which is Hollywood and entertainment, how has the pandemic and this online collaboration changed things, not just from consumption, because I think we've all binge watched everything, but from a creation perspective?
Yeah, it was almost ironic seeing everybody collaborating remotely in the time of the pandemic, because on Hit Record, that's what we've been doing for years. As you know, someone from Nebraska is playing bass and someone from the Philippines is playing drums and they're making a song together. You know, this is how we've been making stuff on Hit Record for all these years. And so when the pandemic first hit, I just started going on Hit Record every day and being like, okay, what I'm going to do is something creative every day just to stay positive and productive. And I'm going to do it collaboratively. I'm not just going to create my own thing. I'm going to collaborate with someone on different things every day. We started kind of documenting my daily experience during the pandemic doing this. And that evolved into a show, actually. We won our second Emmy last year because we made a show called Create Together about people being creative together during the pandemic and trying to show like, hey, yes, we can, of course, in this time where we're all alone at home, we could sit back and just binge watch stuff. But what could also be fun is if we don't just watch, if we get up and like make things together. And yeah, and so we made all kinds of things together as, you know, the worldwide community of Hit Record that anybody can come join, and made a show sort of about that experience. And it was a really, for me, kind of the one of the best antidotes for the anxiety and surprise of the time.
What's the most unexpected thing that you created over the past year, or that you saw someone create on Hit Record?
This is gonna sound very whatever, but like someone posted an excerpt from Macbeth, the Shakespeare play, and people were reading it out loud, and I was like, oh, this is cool. We've done various little Shakespeare things on Hit Record over the years, but oftentimes it's been like me starting it because I'm nerdy like that. So it was really cool to see just someone out in the community, not prompted by me or anyone on our staff, was like, hey, let's try this. I was like, oh, cool, I'll try that. And, you know, I did my reading of it. And then listening to other people, that's the surprising thing, is it's really fun to see how different people approach one creative challenge. I guess you could say I binged. It wasn't 5 hours long, but I sat there and just listened to like all these different people doing their little Macbeth monologues, and then I got to do mine. It's always a fun, to me, that's a half hour well spent. That if I was looking at my phone for a half hour, and to be honest, if I look at, you know, Instagram or Twitter for a half hour, I usually come out of that half hour feeling worse than I felt when
you
I started.
You and everyone else.
Yeah, right. Well, that's, yeah, because it keeps your attention. But spending a half hour like that, every time I put in the work to spend a half hour on Hit Record, and I say work, and I don't mean it as a bad word. You know, we're all so scared of like work. We want things to be frictionless and easy and the path of least resistance. But if you want to feel good, sometimes that takes a little bit more work. You know, yeah, that you could also just be a junkie and get instant gratification, but we all know where that leads. Whereas if you can just like get over the hump to put in a little bit of effort, you'll usually be rewarded for that. And I always find it, even though I've done it a million times, I always find it just like kind of, oh, that's nice. Like that's, you know, if I actually did it, and feels good.
The name of this podcast is I'm So Obsessed. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt, what are you obsessed with?
Lately, I've been listening to a podcast called 80,000 Hours. This is an organization. They're friends of mine, so, you know, full disclosure, but they're just such good-hearted and smart people who are applying their minds to trying to make the world better in really rational ways, in ways that aren't just that kind of about singing like Kumbaya and saying like, yeah, let's all feel good about ourselves, but really trying to look at the world in evidence-based, rational ways and figure out how we can make it better and how we can avoid doom. and hearing very smart people speak very rationally about how to actually solve big problems. I guess I find that sort of soothing and inspiring. The 80,000 Hours podcast, definitely recommend it.
You know, you've been engaged in the online world for a long time. You use a lot of technology. I like to ask people, you know, what their favorite piece of tech is. And since you've used tech for a long time, what is your favorite piece of tech? And is it something different than used to be your favorite piece of tech?
I was just reading a book that I love that I've read many times. I was rereading a part called Amusing Ourselves to Death. I know it sounds dark. It's called by Neil Postman. And it's a really smart book about media technology and how that impacts kind of how we think and how we communicate, is the technology that we use to do so. Because I think we often think about, oh, well, the technology is, that's just neutral. That's just the pipe. But my communication is traveling through the pipe, and that's the unique part. So I was just reading about different media technologies, and he in Amusing Ourselves to Death, the writer Neil Postman, he talks a lot about the written word, which is a technology. We don't think of it that way. We think of technology as something that's, you know, on a computer or something, but it's perhaps the greatest invention ever in the history of the human species, is the written word. That, and by the way, it takes a lot of work to use it, right? You have to spend years of your life learning how to read and write. Can you imagine like a startup nowadays with a new technology saying, well, users of the technology will require years of their life to learn how to use our product, but once they do, it's brilliant. But I don't think it's any coincidence that you put all that work into it, and it's the most rewarding technology. It's still the greatest thing, the written word, that you can get inside the mind of anybody from the last many thousands of years and see what they were thinking, or hear a story that they want to tell you, or understand an argument that they want to make to you. That is the greatest technology ever. And yeah, so it's still my favorite.
I'm not gonna discount that, because language is what you're talking about. Written word is as a language. Obviously, I feel the same way about music as a non-musician. Mm-hmm. But I'm being talked to by someone from hundreds of years ago.
Yep.
Who was able to write down their thoughts on these scales, and it transcends time. So,
yeah, so true.
If you could have any technology invented for you, what would it be?
Let's see, my mind goes to Jaron Lanier, who's one of my favorite thinkers alive today, and is also a good friend who I love. I feel lucky to have gotten to know him, but he's sort of, he started the first virtual reality company back in the 80s, I guess it was, and has been a leader in thinking about what that is.
He is the father of VR. Yes.
Yeah, sure. And talking to him about what VR can be is a bit different than where a lot of VR conversations go nowadays. Again, I think because nowadays VR is often sort of mapped onto the way that the internet makes money nowadays. And when I hear about like a Facebook metaverse, frankly, I get very concerned, because if our metaverse is monetized through advertising the way that the Facebook social network is monetized through advertising, I think we're in for a very perverse and misanthropic metaverse, because human interaction shouldn't always be mediated by advertisers who are trying to manipulate those humans.
Own the pipes, people who own the pipes.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if you leave aside some of these contemporary conversations about how to leverage VR to best make money through advertising and prey on people's most base instincts, Jaron talks about VR as the potential for the greatest form of human creativity and collaboration. That if people, he talks about sort of a combination of coding and music and improvisation and you know, whether it's jazz or whatever kind of improvised music or creativity you like, where people can just create worlds and objects and things together, kind of just out of their minds. And I look forward to that. I think it'll probably, you know, it's coming more and more there. You see it happening bit by bit, and it'll probably start coming faster and faster, but that friction will come down and down and down and down. And ideally that friction coming down won't just make it easier for people to consume more ads, but if that friction coming down can make it easier for people to really connect with each other and make things together and inspire each other and build off each other, then we could make some incredible stuff.
Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with class projects on Hit Record. Looking forward to seeing what the next Emmy Award-winning project that comes out of it is.
Thanks so much, Connie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, for talking with me. And thank you all for listening. We hope you'll take a moment to subscribe to I'm So Obsessed on your favorite podcast app. But first, we're taking a long overdue break, and we'll be back with a new episode on January 12th. Until then, be safe.